scripture. He told me, he said, I don't know what I'm going to speak about yet. So I figured I had a 50-50 shot at getting it right if he just gave me one of them. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When you get home tonight, if you have time, go back and read the entire chapter. I had forgotten about tonight, and I've sat over there and whittled down on my sermon, Miss Kay. You're going to be tickled that I forgot that we had the children this tonight, and so I whittled it down pretty good. But go back and read the entire chapter, and then we have time tonight, we'll throw in verse 58, but be sure to include verse 58 when you're reading that section about it. Jerry Seinfeld is a comedian. He said the biggest fear in people's life, or the number one fear in people's life, is public speaking. He said studies had been done, and that's the number one fear. Number two comes up on that study is death. So Jerry Seinfeld, being a comedian, he said, therefore, if you go to a funeral, you're better off, or you prefer to be in the casket instead of giving the eulogy. And people make jokes about death. People think about death and put it out of their mind real quick. Some people will not even make a will because they don't want to think about death. Some people will not go and buy a cemetery plot because they don't want to consider it at all. There are scientists and rich people that try to find the special formula to the fountain of youth, that they could prolong their life from, let's say, 100 years to 300 to 500 years. They're in search of that thing that they can prevent death. But death is reality. Another article I read, a study was taken, and 10 out of 10 people die. It's a reality. You know, we may joke about it, but when it gets close to us, it's not funny anymore, is it? If it's us or our loved ones, the smiles go away. The fear, the anxiety comes. This afternoon, when I was thinking about this lesson, trying to decide which of the two to preach tonight, so sometime in the future, I wish y'all let me preach one more time, because I got a good one. This ain't it, but I got a good one. And I got to thinking about my family. The hardest thing besides letting someone go, to me, besides holding their hand and watching them breathe their last breath, the next hard thing to do is after the funeral, closing the casket. And probably harder than that is when you're right over here on the other side of the cemetery and somebody starts throwing dirt on top of your loved one. It's not funny anymore because you're hurting because you lost a loved one, and you're holding on to the thought, and you're holding on to the precious days and years that you had with that one person, or in my case, and I told someone the other day, they asked me about preaching at Trevant and asked me about weddings and funerals and a lot of things I've done, and I told them I'd done 7 of my family members in the last 8 years, and I said I've done a lot of funerals in my life. What is it about death, though? You know, God's got a different approach than people, though. When we try to ignore it, when we try to not write the wills, not buy the cemetery plots, ignore it, maybe it'll go away, all the things we try to do, God has this approach. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, he declares this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not," what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He said, he introduces himself, really, and he says this, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." He says, "I have the keys to death and Hades." What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. And in other words, Jesus said this. He said, "I died on the cross. I was placed in a grave. I didn't stay in the grave. And when I rose from the dead, I picked up the keys to that place on the way out." That's really what he said. He said, "Death did not hold me." And we have the assurance as Christians from God that death will not hold us as well. I've been doing a lot of reading lately. I've been sitting in hospitals reading articles and everything. Here's another article I found on the internet, and I read this. You can do it or not do it. I put myself through it for just a minute, and I played with the scenario that the article said, and it really did make my mind run a little wild thinking. He said a friend of his went to a psychiatrist. When he got there, he was worried about death, wondering what death was going to be like and what it was going to be like to be in the grave and all the things. He asked the question. I don't remember all the details. But the psychiatrist said this, "Imagine yourself in a white room, just as white and perfect clean as it could possibly be. Everything in that room is white." He said, "Now shut your eyes and think about that. Everything is white." And the article said he paused for a little time to give the person time to think about it. And the person that went, when he started talking to him again, the psychiatrist said this, "Well, what did you think?" He said, "Before I answer that question, I got a question for you." This guy was a Christian. He said, "Is there a door in that room?" And the psychiatrist said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I can't tell you really what I think, because there's one thing that's missing in that room, and I've got to know if there's a door in that room or not. Because if there's a door in that room, I'm thinking a different way than if you just got me in a room without any way to get out." You see, some of the things that people reported when they done this study was, number one, boredom. They were bored. Number two, they had anxiety. They had fear. They had frustration. A few reported that they had peace there. They relaxed and they found peace in thinking about being in that room. But the man that asked the question about the door, the article went on to explain what the door meant to him as a Christian. Because sometimes we think about death, we think about when we leave here, that when we're in the grave, there's a wall there, and there's no way to get out. But what I said a few minutes ago, that Jesus said, he got the keys, there is a door in that room. And Jesus has got the keys. And when we're faithful to God, when we're a Christian, when we think about our relationship with God and how we live each day and the walk that we live and the decisions that we make, we know that if we walk in the light, that Jesus is going to come back. And that grave will not hold us either. That we will be resurrected. That we will be in heaven. And that's what we're living for. Each and every day of our life gets us one step closer home. Victory in Jesus. Jacob called me this afternoon, or texted me right before church, and said that he was leading singing. Wanted to know if there was anything I wanted him to sing, and the thing I thought of was Victory in Jesus. Because that's what we want. Jay's book, I know I mention it a lot, and I probably will as long as I got my mind or as long as I'm alive. The last paragraph in his book, when he's finishing it, before he gets to the sermon outlines and whatnot in the back, he said, I'm not sure, I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm not sure how my journey with cancer will end. He said, but there's one thing I do know. By the grace of God, that my journey with Christ will never end. One day this life, this cancer, is going to give way to victory. That victory is found in God. It's found in Jesus. This morning we talked about the struggles, the problems, real life things. Tonight, this is a real life thing. Folks, we've got to be living to go to heaven. Ten out of ten. That's the number. No matter what ten you grab and put over here for this survey, it doesn't matter. Ten out of ten is the number. There's not a one of us sitting in here tonight, and I'm not trying to scare anybody or depress anybody by no means, because it's really a happy thing if you're on the side of Christ. But there's not a person in here that's not going to face death. But you don't go to a room without a door. You go to a room with a door. So your question needs to be, what's on the other side of that door? It's one of two things. It's either heaven or hell. That's the only two things that's going to be on the other side of that door. And if you believe anything I ever say, you believe this. That door is going to be opened when you're in that room. And you're going to go through it. I promise you that, myself included. Death will not hold us. We're going to live again. Now, there is a second death. In the book of Revelation, we learn of the second death, and that's hell. That's when we go there, it's no getting out of that at all. And that's on the other side of that door. For some people, I challenge you tonight to think about your life, to think about your walk, think about the sin that you have in your life. I promise you, I'm not standing up here judging anyone but myself. But I suggest each one of us judge ourselves tonight. Because if you're carrying sin that's separating you from God, you know what we're talking about, and you know what's on the other side of the door. Because the only way it gets rid of that sin is the blood of Jesus. The only way we meet the blood of Jesus is through obedience. We have to obey God. We have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. We've got to turn away from those sins. We got to confess His name. And then we got to continue to walk that life. Only you know, you and God, let me rephrase that. Only you and God know, really. I told someone just this past week, I said, you know, we don't need to be the people that's in the business of judging. We really don't. We need to be the people that's in the business of encouraging people to judge themselves. And if you're sitting here tonight, before we stand and sing, be thinking about it yourself. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. If you're not faithful to God, you need to come forward. If it's of a public nature where you need to confess that sin and how the prayers of the church, you need to be restored to the church, then you need to come forward tonight. To have your life in the right relationship with God. Thank y'all for letting me preach this morning. And I'm sorry that I forgot about tonight. I did hack my sermon all to pieces tonight, but Miss Kay's tickled because it's 20 till. But if we can help you in any way, let us do that while together we stand and sing.